A good doctor is one that no matter what is happening to you, tells you you're fine, right? Yeah, no, a good doctor is the one that, even if you are slowly killing yourself with a habit, says, do what you want. If it makes you happy, go for it, right? No, that's a terrible doctor. And worse than that, worse than just being professionally irresponsible, that's a doctor that has no love for her patient or for his patient. Excuse me. No, a good doctor is willing to say when physical health is in danger, willing to say something, to tell the patient that they need to change course. We accept that in the physical realm, right? For our physical health, that's a no-brainer. But I think we have a harder time with our moral health, with our spiritual health. Someone tells us that we're doing something that's destroying our soul. The church teaches that a particular action, a particular habit or attitude is something that is actually hurting us internally. And instead of saying, oh yes, thank you for the correction, I probably should do better, we dig our heels and we say, who are you to judge me? You're not so perfect yourself. How dare you tell me how to act? And so what we accept for our physical health, we reject for our spiritual health. And why is that? Well, I propose that it's because we've taken the queen of all the virtues and we've dethroned her. And we've set up in her place an imposter, one of the lower virtues that's good for what it's good for, but should never be the top virtue. So what we've done is we've taken charity, love for another. We've taken that from the primary spot. And in her place, we've placed tolerance. You do you, I do me. Now, to tolerate, that's not something that you do for a person. No, you never see on Valentine's Day a card that says, I tolerate you, and you give it to someone. No, that isn't a profession of something that is worthy of another person. No, you tolerate inconveniences. You tolerate things. You tolerate little quirks that a person may have. You tolerate having to wait a little bit longer in line. You tolerate a toothache. You don't tolerate a person because a person is worthy of more than your tolerance. A person is worthy of your love. Now, when we put tolerance up on that pedestal of making it the chief virtue of our lives, what we're doing is sowing the seeds for what's on the flip side of tolerance, which is indifference. The more that I get in the habit of saying, you do you and I do me, the closer I am to saying, I don't care what you do and if it destroys you. Just don't tell me what to do. And that's the exact situation our Lord wants us to avoid. Because we are each other's keepers, right? We do have a responsibility not just for ourselves going to heaven, but helping others to go there as well. And so we can't just sit and tolerate evil. And just say, yeah, you do whatever you want, just don't bother me. No, we have, as the first reading made clear, an obligation to be a watchman, to be able to call out something that's destructive. But we only ever do it from a position of love, from a position of saying, this is destroying you whom I love, you who were created to be good, and not only good, but great. You who have such a high dignity, this action is below you, it's beneath you, and it's eating away at who you were called to be. And that is the only motivation ever for correction of someone. It's never kind of putting ourselves up in this place of judgment and saying, I've got nothing to work on, but you, whoo, you're a piece of work. No. But the only way that we're able to have that ability to correct another, to call them to that greatness, is if every day we're calling ourselves to that same greatness. If every single day we look in the mirror and we say, okay, how do we do? In our reactions, in our thoughts, in our words, did we live up to the dignity of who God's made us to be? And if we're able to reproach ourselves that way in love, not for the sake of self-loathing, Not to say at the end of the day, oh, I'm the worst, but to say, Lord, I didn't live up to who you've made me to be, but tomorrow I can do better. When we do that regularly, then we have the courage and the ability and the love for the other in order to do it in our relationships as well. Because the world's dying for lack of those kinds of loving relationships, where we can call each other out, but in love. Because we don't follow the recipe that Jesus gave us. Today, in the gospel, he says, basically, when you're correcting someone, when someone hurts you, go to them. Just you and them, and let them know. No, we don't do that. Instead, someone hurts me, and I say, ooh, the world must know what a terrible person he is. And I go right on Facebook or whatever social media, and I just try to drag that name through the mud. Or, the moment that I'm hurt, instead of talking to God about it, getting the courage to talk to the person who hurt me, I call up my friend, and then this friend, and this other friend, and I say, oh, he's the worst. Oh, she's the worst. You won't believe what she did, what he did. That's not what our Lord asks us to do. No, he says, go to the source, have the courage and have the love for this person to beg them for conversion, to work toward them bettering themselves while you better yourself. And if it doesn't work one-on-one, then get a small group of your friends to help. So he never says, blow it up, tell everybody. He says, it's always work out of love for that person, toward that person's conversion to goodness. And I pray that that's what we can do. That this week we can have a healthy level of self-reproach, of that humility that says, I didn't do everything right, so what can I improve upon? And to lovingly look at our own souls that way, so that we can train ourselves to lovingly look at the souls of others in that way. Never condemning and seeing someone as beyond hope, but always seeing hope in every situation and saying, like, I'm going to work toward the goodness of your soul. Of course, that primary work comes in our prayer for them. But then also in our example, and sometimes in our intervention. So may we have the courage to intervene when necessary, to call ourselves and everyone else in our lives to that greatness to which God calls them, so that we can all dwell together in heaven.